Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
I want to share with you a theme that has really been on my heart, and especially this last week. It is holy vision for holy people. It is holy vision for holy people. I'm going to be up front with you. I did not give Kyle almost hardly any slides. And there's going to be a reason for that, and I'll share that with you as we get there. As we think about some things, the Word of God has given us many events and recordings of what we would call visions. Visions. It is a powerful word. Many of the prophets had visions. Many others had visions. In the Bible, the term vision as it pertains to the Bible means that the source is from the holy God to a holy person called of God for a holy purpose from God to be proclaimed to the people of God. That's important. It is to be lived, it is to be embraced, it is to be proclaimed, and it is to be owned, and it is to be taken seriously. It is not specific to men only. There are many women in the Bible who had visions. Now that'll slap your gizzard in the whatchamacallit or the whatchamaduber when you think that women should not be involved in ministry, won't it? God used women over and over and over in Scripture. There were women who were pastors of the church in Acts. There were prophetesses. There were women leaders of the church. And so we want to be very careful that when God calls us, we're not the ones that are saying you can't. Because God says you are called to them. One of the greatest speakers of a preacher that I ever heard, you ready? Two of them, Nina Gunter and Joanne Lyon. I think Nina and Joanne are females, the last I checked. And they were very, very, very gifted. God used women as well. Vision is a powerful thing. It is something that we have heard of in many contexts, many sermons, many people speaking, and those others who want to say we ought to go by what they say because it's their vision. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I want to be very careful. I want to be very cautious that when someone tells me that, I'm going to go the other way because I do not listen to what someone says. I take it to the Scripture and I listen to God. That is self-idolatry. That's shared. There are 224 verses cited in the Bible about this very thing of vision. And there are over 100 verses that also allude to visions. Therefore, if we are to understand the biblical perspective of what vision means and then pursue what God has given us in a vision of who, what, and how to be and become, we must look at what that means and what it's all about. Intrinsic in this is also another thought that all too often is very hard to articulate and very hard to understand as well as grasp, and that is this. Any church, any organization, any person that chooses to keep on doing things like we've always done them because we've always done them and that's how we know. We did it that way before. We did it that way before. That's where we're living is in the before. We're living in the past. A vision takes you from the now to the future. A lot of times it was scary for everyone that received one. A lot of times it seemed impossible for those who received it. It seemed, you got to be out of your mind, to those who heard it. But yet it was from God, and God fulfilled it. Any church that looks to the vision, though, takes the last things, the pursuits, the events, the moves of God, and uses them to build on. They do not disregard it because God did it. But they build on it for the now to prepare for the future and to own the future in the anointing, the presence, the purpose, and the personification of Jesus and His Holy Spirit. Yet to look beyond that past, we must have newness. Let's look to the theme, the sermon in a sentence, and the text for the day. I know that's a quick one to get into. I usually take more time, but today I want to go right to the heart. I really felt compelled to do it this way today. The theme is this, holy vision for holy people. It's the title of the message, but it's also the theme. Holy vision for holy people. The sermon in a sentence, I'm going to give you the long, and then I'm going to give you the or, because the or is a lot shorter. The sermon in a sentence is this: to be holy people, pursuing the holy God, in holy pursuits and the holy reasons, we must have a holy vision. In other words, holy discipleship is pursuing holy vision. Our text today, as you may can understand, is Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people perish. But happy is he who keeps the law of God. I want to look at two of those words in the passage today. The word vision and the word perish. Before we get into the message, the word vision comes from the word chazavan, C-H-A-Z-Zebra, Alpha, Victor, November. From the Hebrew around chazah, it means to behold, to perceive, to gain an understanding of, and what is to be or to become. There's the other word of perish, yapara. It is to be let go. You will no longer have any restraint. You will no longer have any direction. You will have no longer have any guidance or purpose. In other words, what is implied with this is this: without a vision, there's no direction. There's no pushing into the plan of God. There's not going forward and having the vision of God with God, then having an end result of no direction. It creates floundering that leads to stagnation, then acquiescence of how we do things and what we look to have happen. We're stuck. It then progresses to the issue of existence. We exist. We're not going forward. We are just simply existing. Thank God for the growth we've had so far. Look around. We've got more here than we've had for a while. Thank you, Jesus. And let me just share this with you. The vision I have is that each one would bring one more. Each one would bring one more. And on Christmas Sunday, we could easily have 70. 70. Wouldn't that be something? You see, folks, we are the voice people hear. We are the Bible people read. We are the passion people see. We are the contagiousness people catch. If we do it, they hear it, they see it, they catch it. If we don't, they don't know it. They don't know it. They don't own it. Because we haven't been it. And I still say we could have 70 Christmas Sunday, and from there 100 Easter Sunday. That's awfully big dreaming, yes, but you see, I see in this God, or in this Bible, the God who does miracles, and the God who gives vision, and the God who does the impossible, and the God who does the improbable, and the God who blesses those who refuse and choose to not give in and keep going forward. What's your vision today? You have a vision for God moving in your life, with your life, through your life. What's your vision for the church today? I would hope and pray that after this many times, this many months, we all are gaining a vision that is different by design. There is nothing wrong, nothing wrong with reflecting on where God has brought us to and reflecting what God has brought us through. What is wrong is if we stay there and don't go from there. Did you catch that? Am I communicating? Are you getting it? The question of the hour is this: will we get a vision of what God wants us to become that will transform us away from what and how we have been? Does that mean it's bad? No, I just said that. God has worked incredible in the history of this church. I was reading in my Bible this morning in my own personal devotions, and let me just pause a minute. It's so easy for pastors work on sermons, and use that as their devotions, and that's not all bad, but it is bad if that's all you do. Pastors need to have their own devotions as well, just like we call you to have your own devotions. In Malachi, as well as Haggai, God says, I want to do something new. Now I want to do it. Let's rebuild. You see, we have come through some tremendous days. This church has come through some tremendous challenges, but they have come through tremendous days as well. Can we not gain a vision as a people to go forward and become like we've never been before? Can we not gain a vision to experience God, the Holy Spirit, in such an outpoured way that we will never be able to get over it and we will come expecting to have it? Can we not gain a vision that we need to go into the presence of God before we even come to this building and into this sanctuary, which in the New Testament sense is the Holy of Holies, that when we come, we know we're going to experience Jesus? You see, for this pastor, that's one of the big reasons I say this sanctuary is sacred. One of the reasons. And what goes on here is praise. What goes on here is worship. What goes on here is proclamation, all of which is toward Jesus. All of which is toward Jesus. And I will share this. I have been in churches where you swear all they did was get a performance. And you wonder, so what was the focus? In this church, thank God, it's different. Let's go back to the theme. That's why I doubled it up. Guys, just go to the next one. That's why I doubled it up. I'm going to leave this slide up for the rest of the sermon. As I preach this sermon, I want you to reflect on this theme, this sermon in a sentence, and this text. It is not because I'm lazy. It is not because I didn't think of going ahead and putting it in. It's just that I felt we needed to do it this way today. So thank you for allowing me that ability to be doing it a little different. So thank you. The theme is a holy vision for holy people. Our sermon in the sentence will go down to the or part. Holy discipleship is pursuing holy vision. And then our text, Proverbs 29:18, without a vision the people perish. But happy is he who keeps the law of God. As I look at that, and as I prepared for that, I will share this with you too before I actually get into it. This may well become a series. I do not know. But we're just going to go forward. Our first point is Isaiah 6, 1. Our text is Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. It is where we will be studying today. It's not on a PowerPoint, so I'm going to encourage you to look it up on your phone or look it up on your Bible. It's not there. So I'm going to encourage you to do that, please. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high, lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Let's pause a minute. When a woman gets married, she wears a wedding gown usually, and the train of the wedding gown, as she comes forward, finally comes down the aisle as well. The train of the robe of Jehovah God did not come down an aisle. It filled the entire temple. Above him stood seraphim. Each of them had six wings. Two wings they covered their face, two wings they covered their feet, and with two they flew. One of them called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundation of the threshold shook. The voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, and I said, Isaiah said, woe is me. I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Stop a minute. Isaiah had already been called as a person of God, as a person who believed in God, as a person who followed after God to be a prophet. And Isaiah came into the presence of God himself, had this vision of God himself, and realized, oh, I am so unworthy, and there's more for me to get to before I can really, really say, I am surrendered to God. And I truly believe this pastor and all of us can come to a point and should come to a point where we say, there's got to be more. And there is more. And a deeper life where I can be. Verse 6. One of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a burning coal that was taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Confession, here's where it is, and his sin was taken away. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go? And I said, here am I, send me. First thing I notice in that is the holy call to experience the holy presence of God. You see, the holy vision is a holy call. A holy vision is a holy revelation, but it's also a holy call. And the holy call is to experience the holy presence of God. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting high on the throne, lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. He experienced God. Have we experienced God today? If we had a vision of what God would want to do in us today, have we encountered God Almighty today? Some of you notice Karen's not here. She is talking with people and she is sharing Jesus with a group of ladies. Her vision is to tell people of Jesus. Connect with them through a mutual light and hobby, and then say, well, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. She doesn't do that because she's a wife of a pastor or a pastor's wife, and there's a difference. She does that because she's the daughter of the living God. The daughter of the living God. Wow. Seeing and experiencing the very God who brought us into being as persons, families, and as a church. He is the same God Isaiah encountered. God brought this church into being. God brought this church into foundation. God had this church in the parsonage at first. Then God allowed this church to build this building. Did you see that? I did not call this building his church. We are his church. We are in his tabernacle. And God has helped us tremendously. We're going to find out how tremendously from Stephanie in our meeting after a bit. Miraculous. Miraculous. And Emily is here and can testify to it as well, because she audits us every month, not just every year. I love it. You know how much, how many times it balances? Every month. It's incredible. Seeing and experiencing the very God who affirmed to us by the Holy Presence all around us is undeniable, inescapable, unexplainable, and all affirmable. I was on too many ubbles and had to stick it in there. My professor of homiletics would love that. My English professor would not, but that's okay. This is he of whom we are called to be like, whether seraphim or surrender, surreal or sure, all around and among us, because you see, God is still God. He still gives us vision of what we became and now wants to give us vision of what we can become even more and go forward from. Holy discipleship is holy pursuing of holy vision. Are we getting it? Holy vision for holy people. Without a vision, the people perish. But happy is he who keeps the law of God, holy discipleship, his holy vision. Holy vision, pursuing holy vision. Holy vision is the call to experience the holy worship of God. Look, if you would, in verses 3 and 4. 3 and 4. Verse 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts, woe. The very posts that held up the sanctuary were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. This was only the seraphim. It wasn't God himself. The seraphim was pointing to God. What if God had spoken? The whole thing probably would have collapsed. And the house was full of smoke. One of the significance of that is that when the children of Israel offered sacrifices, even of praise and of worship, smoke came up from that sacrifice. They were giving holy praise to the holy God. Holy, holy, holy. There's nothing more direct, more clear, more absolute, pardon me, than this about God. He is holy. He is holy. The only way to encapsulate the very personification and person of God. The Lord of hosts, Jehovah Tsevaoth. The Lord God of all provision. The Lord God of all resources. And it is equal in the Greek to saying the Lord God Almighty. The Lord God of hosts in the Hebrew is the Lord God Almighty in the Greek in a comparison. Are we getting it? The Bible is unified. The same God we have and we serve, and I hope we're serving, is holy. And this same God said in this same Bible that we can have a holy vision that holy disciples pursue. The doorposts were shaken. The house was filled with smoke. The foundation of where the presence of God came into was shaken to the very core, and the foundation shook such that the house was filled with smoke. The burning away of anything else that would distract and detract. What are you thinking of today? You thinking of lunch? How about beating the Baptist to the restaurant? I say that somewhat lightly, but not really. And it doesn't matter who it is. How about what you're going to do this evening? How about I wish that preacher would shut up and hurry up and get it done? Are we focusing on him or it? Can I challenge us? Let's get off of this. Important as it can be. I'm going to be honest with you, it can be very important. But you see, it should be important only because he is holy. And he is the worship. And that makes him the focus of even all of this. Woe is me, I am of unclean lips. I dwell among the midst of people of unclean lips. It is me that needs transformed. You may remember the song that we used to sing as kids, not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And some of you are doing this already, as if you're singing it to yourselves. I'd let you. Folks, that's true. There's a lot of people who have hurt me deeply. But you know what? It's me that needs prayer because for the hurt. It's me that needs prayer so I don't get bitter. It's me that needs prayer so I don't get stuck. It's me that needs prayer so I keep going forward. Paul the apostle was in prison. You may remember the story well. He had been proclaiming and he'd been thrown to prison. And then he wrote into the Philippians, "Oh, I would love to be able to go to heaven and I would be able to get out of here, but yet I know it is more needful of me to stay here with you so that the gospel is proclaimed. Some do it for righteousness, some do it for jealousy, but still the gospel of Christ is proclaimed. So therefore, because I know it's better for me to be here, I know I will stay here a while longer." Wow. So I was working in the penitentiary. Max Altermax is a nurse. I began to be very carefully connecting with the inmates. You got to be careful so they don't manipulate that and take advantage of you. Very careful. I'm not going to say his name. It doesn't matter. It was a male penitentiary. I'm not going to say his name. I was shocked. He wasn't even 30 years old. He was serving a sentence of life without. And he said, "The best thing that happened to me was to have to come here." What? And he said, "Because I had to face how evil I was to become how holy he is." He would not shiv somebody else and he got stabbed. He would not sell his relationship to Jesus for popularity and he got beaten. And he was out in the yard and he got hit behind with a shiv and it severed his renal artery. And they called a code medical, a signal medical. Everybody went into instant lockdown. They told me on my radio where I was at. I was the only RN in the entire penitentiary of 1,800 inmates. I go tearing across there with five officers to protect me, and they had weapons drawn. And I saw what was happening, and I said, "Get me an ambulance and get me now, or this man's going to be dead on our property." And I reached in and grabbed it and did the best I could to put it back together. It still bled, but we were able to get more blood coming both way, the right way, and not all left. By that time, I'd already gotten the glove on. My uniform was getting very bloody, but you know what? I had to try to save this man's life. Whether he was a Christian or not, it was my responsibility and my duty to save this man's life. I'll tell you what, the responsibility of sermon to Pastor Jim, wow. The helo came in. We got a helo in that day. Sat down. And the guy said, "Whatever you do, you better not ever release that." And I said, "Sir, yes, sir." I ended up going on the bird, and it was heavy because there were now four people on the bird, not three. An EMT, the victim, and the pilot. And now me. We flew low, we flew fast. We went 35 miles to Wichita, Kansas, Trauma One Center. And as we busted through the door, they put a mask on me and they put a hat on me and said, "Don't even let up. We've got surgery waiting." And I went in there into that sterile field. I'm about as unsterile as you can get for a surgery. And they said, "Forget it. We got to get in there. Please don't cut me." They opened him up and they put him back together enough to where I could release. And then in not so nice a language, they told me, "Get me out of there." Ladies and gentlemen, God sometimes calls us to do things we don't want to be doing and give us a vision to be where we are supposed to be at, even though it's nothing what we would believe we should be. And I was called to the ministry even then, but I was in a penitentiary. And yet he would not give up his call, his vision, inmate blah, 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 blah. Vision was to tell everybody he could of Jesus and let the consequences lay where they will. He lived. Have we paid so great a price? What's our vision today? The call of God to experience the vision of God is to dwell only where the presence of God takes us. There's places I've been I would not want to go again. But I will tell you this. God has used it in ways I cannot even begin to explain. And I would never have experienced it unless I had been where I was. God is calling this church to be His church in such different ways now than we have been before. God is not stuck on the past. God is not having us keep the vision of what once was, even though it was His vision. God is calling us to ever perpetually seek a new way, a new day, a new place, a new method, a new vision for today. So that God tarrying, Jesus not coming, when we are the JPs that cannot come every week, and we've passed it off to the next generation, they are the new church of that day and are celebrating and in God's place of this church being a new vision in a new way and being anointed and fruitful. You see, that's one reason we push church membership, belonging to a local church. But the biggest thing, even though we'll have classes if you want it, and I'll talk with you, but the biggest thing is, are you a member of His church? His church. And as such, do you have His vision for this church? You know what? There's a lot more I have, but I'm just going to say, let's come down. I don't know what your thoughts are. I don't know what your perception is of today. I pray that it speaks to you. It's been a very hard message to get because I don't want to lecture you. A pastor should never be all about lecturing or ever about lecturing his people. Never. I've been the equivalent of a DS, and I sat in a service where the guy got up and he basically told him off, as he put it, because they weren't doing what he thought they ought to do. And I said, you know what, I'm going to tell you off. I don't know if you've been hurt. I don't know what your thoughts are. But I just want to share with you here in an internet land, it's time we possess a new vision to be a new people, that we go into a new focus for a new time. Did you get that? It's time we become a new people with a new vision to go into a new focus for a new time. The Custers and I have talked, and I have a vision of 30, 40 youth. I've told them we want more youth. I have a vision of 30, 40 more youth filling up that entire back part, so don't even go up there when they're here. That's theirs. What if they make paper airplanes? I don't care. Are they here? I'll just go up and water them up. No, I won't. As long as they don't hit me with them. I have a vision of 30, 40 children. Well, that's 60 to 80. Uh-huh. I have a vision of 120 parents or adults and ended up doing double services. Not next Sunday. But in time. That's my vision. What's yours? What's your vision? Do you have one? I have a vision that John would fly. I've been praying this way, John, not just because you're here. I'm just going to say it. Fly through your defense. You've told me stuff I can't even begin to encapsulate in my thick head brain. And if it's math, tell her and my wife don't even come to me. I can do formulas, but once it gets beyond basic algebra, I don't even want to hear about it. But fly through it. And then John comes in and says, let me tell you what Jesus did for me, the glory of God. I flew through, I now get my PhD. Take off running. You see, I just think God has a vision for all of us. Not just about PhDs, but about Him. To be the church that fills the building, that makes disciples, that produces more disciples, that is fulfillment of the Great Commission. Working responsibly, planning wisely, following carefully, and possessing completely the vision of God. I think most of you know that. More of you, more of you, I've had all, but what I need is more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty and frail. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Jesus, we are here. I pray, Lord, that we would have so much of you come down in on with and through and from us and through us that we could not help. We could not help but ourselves say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we would feel, as it were, this entire place shaken. Not because we're so great, but because you are so godly and so holy, and you are God. Lord, we're planning some stuff that we've got to do, but let it be within the vision of what you want us to have and do. And let us, O God, understand that everything, everything we plan, strive, and try to get accomplished is under the vision of making disciples for Jesus, loving Jesus, serving people, and connecting to make disciples. Because that is what you have called this church to be, to become, and to continue. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.